Hello, I'm Liz Chambers. The good, the clever, and the gutsy. We chose those three themes for this month's special program. Liberty News TV went to Washington to take the pulse of the progressive movement. We learned that a lot of good people are fighting for your future.
We are the true Americans. We are the ones that want to make America great and make it beloved around the world instead of hated around the world as it's going now under this administration.
At the same time, well-oiled Democratic incumbents have suddenly taken notice of the rising power of progressives. Apparently, some believe they can tap into the new energy of liberalism by simply calling themselves progressives. Will the real reformers be fooled?
I think it's a positive thing. I think what you're seeing is people like Hillary Clinton having to come and talk to progressives because they know that those people are making an impact and they know that those people are organized and ready and, you know, that now increasingly that it is the voices of real Democrats who are being heard in the party structure. I don't have any worries about those people turning over and electing someone who isn't good on Iraq and who isn't good on energy when it comes time to choose between them.
In the last section of the show, we'll introduce some people to watch, activists, politicians, and deep thinkers with big ideas about improving life in America over the long haul. We begin at the Take Back America conference in Washington, D.C. Over the course of 3 days, we spoke and listened to a host of important progressive leaders. The media was there too, not CNN or C-SPAN or ABC, but the real media, including sages of the radio such as Tom Hartman and Ambrose Lane, the venerable host of We Ourselves.
This country faces the most serious problem it has faced in its history since the Civil War.
Event organizers also tried to breathe new life into the environmental dialogue, a topic largely ignored by both Democratic and Republican national leaders since the oil crisis of the 1970s.
It's time for us to move forward to stimulate the American economy by creating jobs through the research and development in areas like E85 ethanol, like wind power, solar power, and the many other great opportunities we have toward alternative energy. That's what Apollo Alliance is about. That is what we pursue, and we want all America to be involved.
During the conference, actor and activist Robert Redford spoke to us about politics and global warming.
Let's put the word hope. I hope it plays a role that it didn't play in the last election. I thought it was criminal that it was just sitting there as an issue. Sometimes I think, and this is where you guys come in, I think that it's been pretty depressing over the last years to see the media continue to shove that down low as an issue, kind of on the ladder of issues, when I believe people, the American people at large, are very much concerned about the environment. I think to them it's a big issue. And so it was pretty rough to sit there in the last election, and particularly in the last debates, and see that issue continually either ignored or shunned. And so I'm very hopeful that with all that's happened just since the last election, I think there's some things that are coming up now that you all have been partly responsible for getting out in lieu of the mainstream media not, that it's going to be an issue. And I think that those people running for office, if they don't speak to that issue, I'm hoping that it will show.
Along with media and celebrity appearances, a number of progressive political candidates found new allies at the Washington event. Many are facing tight races against right-leaning Democrats in their home states. For example, in Connecticut, Democrat Ned Lamont is closing on unpopular Senator Joe Lieberman.
If the Bush administration is wrong and if Senator Joe Lieberman doesn't want to stand up to the president, I will. I know Senator Lieberman, he's always talking about finding common ground with President Bush, but I just think it's high time the Democrats stand up and start talking about the common good.
Yeah. Joe Lieberman has become so supportive of Republican policies that he is now being defended by the bullies of the right.
People like Lieberman are getting squeezed out, and he's thinking about running as an independent now because there's no room for him
in
a moderate Democratic Party.
He shouldn't. He'll win on the Democratic ticket in Connecticut.
I would admire a politician
not as much as basically your run-of-the-mill garden variety Republican, but as far as Democrats go, like Lieberman.
Other lesser-known progressive candidates are fighting it out all over the country. Part of their challenge, simply getting some airtime.
And I think a veteran has a unique perspective in the world today because we no longer have a Cold War. We won the Cold War. We won the big ideological war against communism. And now we find that the military-industrial complex, and throw in the oil industry, they got to find ways to justify their continued existence and growth and profitability. And now we've got a war on terror. And this war on terror is not a war against nations. It's a war against people and their values and people who are resisting, in their minds, us imposing our values on them.
In Maine, Gene Haybright, a progressive whose platform includes the impeachment of President Bush, is taking on Republican incumbent Olympia Snow. What kind of alternative vision does Haybright propose?
Ensure domestic tranquility, a healthy environment, harmonious communities, a Department of Peace.
Yeah.
Provide for the common defense. Defense, not offense.
Yeah.
No more regime changes. No more preemptive strikes. Bring our troops home now.
Congressman Bernie Sanders of Vermont is also speaking out, demonstrating the frank talk that has gained him so much traction in his Senate race for 2006.
People are working their fingers to the bones in order to try to get some health care, maybe child care for their kids. Who's talking about that reality? Why is that so? Now, the truth is, while we are a small minority, there are a number of us in Congress who do care about those issues. Do you know how often we are able to speak on television about the growing gap between the rich and the poor? It is not something that is acceptable. I've been in politics for over 30 years. Do you know how many reporters, and I have done probably thousands of interviews, do you know how many reporters have come up to me and said, Bernie, damn it, what are you going to do about the growing gap between the rich and the poor? Damn it, you're not doing enough. Do you know how many people have asked me that question in 30 years? None. Zero. That question is not on the agenda. Do you know how many reporters have asked me the question, Bernie, why is it that the United States of America is the only country in the industrialized world that does not have a national health care program? Bernie, what is going on? Do you know how many times I've been asked that question? Zero.
If that kind of truth can't attract mainstream media, one thing can: political celebrities. When Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, and Nancy Pelosi gave back-to-back speeches at Take Back America, the media showed up in force. Progressives booed Hillary Clinton during the speech when she waffled on withdrawing troops from the Iraq quagmire that she has repeatedly endorsed.
Nor do I think it is smart strategy to set a date certain. I do not agree that that is in the best interest of our troops or our country.
That moment of truth made headlines, but most reporters covering the event had not done their homework. None of them, for example, put Clinton's hawkishness on Iraq and other policies in context. New York Magazine reports that Clinton, who sits on the Senate Armed Services Committee, has accepted donations and at least 5 free aircraft trips from defense contractor Lockheed Martin in the last 5 years. Also, none of the media challenged the disconnect between Clinton's speech and her Senate voting record.
We have to ask them if they're satisfied with a government that is undermining personal privacy, civil liberties, civil rights.
Clinton recently voted to reauthorize the USA Patriot Act. That vote makes 14 provisions of the act permanent. Now the government can conduct a search of your house without you knowing it and notify you a month later that a warrant was issued.
Well, we ought to reverse the mean-spirited bankruptcy bill that makes it harder for people to get back on their feet and get a fresh start.
If the new bankruptcy rules are onerous to Clinton, you might think she would have showed up to cast a no vote on the day the Senate approved the bill. Incidentally, Clinton may not get the same free ride from voters that she does from Lockheed Martin. In September, progressive Jonathan Ticini plans to challenge her in the Democratic primary in New York. Ticini's candidacy is taking off because he supports immediate withdrawal from Iraq, impeachment of the president, and serious election reform.
She voted for the war, she supported the war, and as Bob Herbert recently wrote in the New York Times, her position on the war is right there with Bush, Cheney, and Condoleezza Rice. I believe the war was immoral, should never have happened, and must end immediately.
If Clinton's speech at the Take Back America conference was memorable for its inaccuracies, John Kerry's may be remembered for a moment of candor and regret.
It was wrong, and I was wrong, to vote for that Iraqi war resolution, and I will vote.
Perhaps more important than the rhetoric of these familiar Democrats were the issues that were not discussed or even mentioned. For example, we heard not one word about the need for public financing of campaigns, despite the devastating influence corporations now have on our public policy.
And where do we go to borrow that money? Well, we go to China or Saudi Arabia or Japan.
When we talk, it's a phony when we talk about having a trade deficit with China. There are zero Walmart factories in the United States. There's over 700 in China. We don't have a trade deficit with China. We have a trade deficit with Walmart. Come on. Let's call it what it is. There are no nations. There are only corporations.
Real hope for political change, it seems, will depend on voices from outside the centrist political pantheon. Those voices are few, but they sometimes cut through the chatter of big money, big politics, and small ideas.
We need to understand that a generation of economic decline and failed government response and the relentless demonization of government has left people deeply wary of government, but also quite open to a progressive agenda if it's put before them. Of course, that's exactly what we need to do, because despite the self-evident collapse, which you've heard about, of the conservative, right-wing, extremist project, Americans need to hear alternatives. Without vision, says the Bible, the people perish.
Some of the new voices of change are reminding progressives that they need to get on the ground and get their hands dirty to change minds.
There's a number of books that talk about this, but I think the best one is Lisa McGurr's Suburban Warriors, where you get a clear sense of how the right built their base 30 years ago by going to the ground and actually talked to people. They went to the coffee clutches, they went to the soccer games, and they hosted Tupperware parties. These organic relationships with the people on the ground, because we know that you have to stay in the faces of your friends, you have to stay in the faces of your family, and you have to stay in the faces of your neighbors and classmates if you want them to become politically active.
Author Walter Mosley has some even more radical ideas about what path black voters should take to get more than rhetoric from politicians.
We really need, the black people in America need to say something to the Democrats, and we need to withdraw from the Democratic Party, just to withdraw. That motion alone will give us an unbelievable amount of power in our community, among our people, and with the people who have the power. All of a sudden, George Bush will really be talking. I said, yeah, I was having that idea. You know, I was thinking there was too many black men in prison, too. I was just thinking that the other night. I turned to my wife, and then I turned to Connie, and, you know, and they all said, yes, George.
Also, not everyone is silent about the need to downsize our bloated military.
I think we need to get the military and some of these other analysts to really take a cold look at just what our national security threats really are. For instance, back in the early 1990s, people were talking about cutting the military budget in half. If you added up the military spending of what is considered the threat countries, Iran, North Korea, Cuba, and some of those countries, they amount to about $14 or $15 billion compared to about $500 billion worth of war, more than $500 billion. We far outspend the rest of these countries. So I really think there needs to be a total rethinking of security threats, and we need to begin to take a look at economic issues, take a look at what's behind some of the threats.
You may have seen these characters shuffling around near the White House recently. The Backbone campaign has drawn national attention to the crimes of the Bush cabal with their political theater.
All right, this is a Backbone Award. This Backbone Award is on its way to Senator Russ Feingold. We have given Backbone Awards to Jim McDermott, to John Conyers, to Stephanie Tubbs Jones.
No, liberals are for the rule of law, including the Constitution, including the Fourth Amendment, including the Geneva Conventions. And these guys are not.
I'm willing to go to any state, to any congressional district, to make sure we win these elections. I want you to help me find where these places are to go.
Understanding that if you are concerned about the environment, if you're concerned about Iraq, if you're concerned about the decline of the middle class and all of the economic issues, you're concerned about health care, you know what? You must be concerned about corporate control over the media, because we are not going to be able to address any or all of those issues unless you have a level of political consciousness in America, and a consciousness which is developed by people having access to the different ideas that they're not getting today.
That wraps up our news. If you'd like to introduce your town to Liberty News TV, you can help us by sponsoring the show on your public access TV station. It's free. Just drop us an email and we'll talk you through the process. One final note. This month marks Kevin Quinn's last segment for a few months. Kevin had to take a job in Las Vegas to support his family. Times are tough, but we hope Kevin will return to us in late fall. As you'll see in this next piece, he's riding off into the sunset.
For this month's show, I have an exciting field trip planned for you. We're going deep into the heart of the Old West, to one of what they now call the Red States. After watching Chris Hume's movie, Red State Road Trip, I realized that the core beliefs of most Americans, even some of the ones who voted Republican in 2004, lean toward progressive values and ideas. That's right. We're a nation of liberals who hate the word liberal.
How did America become so strong? How did we achieve unprecedented freedom? America triumphed through openness to new ideas, reform, and tolerance. In a word, liberal.
By today's standards, even Richard Nixon would be considered liberal on social issues. Yet the word has become a weapon with which to demonize anyone who challenges the radical right. Mean-spirited thugs like Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly want us to forget that liberals made this country. Liberals fought for the American values that we cherish: healthcare, clean water, healthy families, civil rights, and well-educated kids. Let's see what's going on in the little town of Boot Swallow Gulch, where Clyde Buford Quinn, the wise and generous sheriff of 30 years, has just passed away. The town, as you might imagine, is still in mourning.
Damn, that feels good. I can't remember the last time I discharged my firearm in a public establishment. Not with that damn liberal sheriff hanging around. Yeah, hell, I can't even say it right no more. Shot my gun. I can't remember when I shot my gun off indoors. Watch it, Slapjaw.
Hey, you know I don't allow smoking in here.
Sounds like Sheriff Quinn left the chief nanny goat behind, eh, Willie?
Give me that gun. That's what I think of you, liberal sheriff. Rest in peace.
That's right. Them liberals is all the same. Bunch of baby-killing atheists giving away the farm to good-for-nothing welfare queens.
Your pa was as tough and ornery as you are before he went down for the long dirt nap.
Bart, what in the name of Sam Houston are you going on about? Baby killer? Why, that man couldn't even shoot his own dog when he got too old to go hunting.
That's right.
And didn't he find us a new minister and work day and night to build us a new church when everybody else said it couldn't be done? And as for putting people to work, well, he even got old Willie Slackjaw sobered up enough to drive a few fence posts.
Oh, yeah? Well, I missed a lot of good days of hunting season doing his damn busy work.
That might be just as well.
And when them railroad bosses come to town and try to hire up cheap labor and take away your jobs, who was it organized you boys and got better wages for everybody? That's right, you bunch of blowhards. It was that liberal sheriff.
All I know is he drained us dry with all them taxes. What'd we get for all our trouble? Nothing.
That's right.
And he used them taxes to put in a well and build the boarding house and to hire Doc. Why, you think Doc would have settled in these parts without the tax money to build a new operating room? How many many bullets as he pulled out of Black Bart's thick skull so far. And by the way, you wouldn't be sitting here having these drinks if the sheriff hadn't repealed that prohibition law.
Doc says he's leaving. Don't like the sound of that new sheriff.
That new sheriff, he's got a lot of railroad money in his pocket. Them Texas railroad men paid him off real good to come up here to Bootswalla. Since Sheriff Quinn died so unexpected.
They say he don't take no mouth from nobody.
Good! We could use some cojones around here. Yeah, all right, well, maybe got enough cojones, but that liberal sheriff was soft on outlaws. A lot of people needed killing around these parts, and he didn't have no stomach for it.
Who was it you think needed killing, Slackjaw?
Well, I don't want to name any names, but there's a lot of shifty characters around here. Never did nobody any good.
Maybe you better tone it down before somebody decides you're right.
That little sheriff was no coward. When those drifters from Utah came into town and burned down my shed and tried to use me for target practice, he trussed them up real good and took them for a nice long ride out into the desert. They never did come back.
What the hell is that? Another stampede?
Nope, it's 5 o'clock. All them guest workers who do the jobs we won't do are going back to Mexico for the night.
What kind of jobs?
Oh, you know, the kind that require getting up before noon.
You wouldn't like that, would you, Barney boy?
Cut it out, Ma.
You don't want to do nothing stupid, gringo. Not with the new sheriff in town.
Afternoon, Sheriff.
Who's in charge here?
No one's in charge. This is a saloon, not a mining camp.
Listen up. Starting right now, we're gonna run this town like a business, not a charity. Like a business, not a charity. I ain't no liberal.
So we've heard.
Yeah.
I think I speak for all of us when I say we're mighty proud you chose to be our sheriff. And if there's anything...
I ain't finished. 3 things are gonna change right away. First, no one in Bootswalla Gulch will ever have to pay taxes again. That's a promise. Second, to keep this town safe, we're gonna build a new jail that's bigger and stronger than ever.
What about Doc? You gonna find the money to keep him around? He's a good man.
Since there ain't no taxes anymore, we can't afford to be given handouts. That goes for doctors just the same as it goes for widows and orphans.
Yes, freeloaders.
If you want to grouse, take it up with my complaint department.
My door is always open. Finally, we got a man who decides things. A decider.
Here's a message to pass on to all the residents of Bootswalla Gulch. From here on out, the only good liberal is a dead liberal. Afternoon, boys. Ma'am.
Vaya con Dios.
Well, I reckon it's time to call it quits.
How long is it gonna take for the rest of them to figure out what kind of trouble's coming down the tracks?
Well, that depends. How long does it take to build a jail?
If you look up liberalism in the dictionary, here's one definition. A political theory founded on the natural goodness of humans and the autonomy of the individual, and favoring civil and political liberties, government by law with the consent of the governed, and protection from arbitrary authority. Sounds nice, doesn't it? I wager that many of you might agree with that description of yourself, no matter what your political affiliation. That's right, you're a liberal. But don't worry, we won't tell anybody. One day, when the current crop of outlaws in Washington is gone, maybe liberalism will take a stand again. Think of it. We could build more schools than prisons. Our leaders could stop waving around those nuclear missiles threatening to blow up half the world. Call me a liberal, but I think a little compassion and sanity and wisdom would go a long way right now.
There's a lot of slimy characters around here. There's a lot of slithery characters.
Slimy, slithery, belly gumping characters.
It's slithery. It's shifted.
Show 622, action.
Who the hell?
Liberty News TV depends on the support of viewers like you, not corporations. Visit our website at libertynewstv.com and let us know you care.